virus outbreak, impeachment trial, Hummer returns. I'm Barton Eckert. The death toll on China's virus outbreak continues to rise, and cases of the coronavirus are now being reported around the world. Correspondent David Culver in Beijing reports there are serious testing issues which could be undercounting those stricken with the virus.
The testing from folks we have spoken with who firmly believe they have contracted the illness because of loved ones around them who have the illness, they are not getting the test results. So what you're seeing are delays in these test results, sometimes delays in the testing itself. And then there's the fact that some folks may have the virus, are not showing symptoms, and hence are not getting tested. That's why there's this concern that the numbers are a lot higher.
China's death toll from the new virus has risen to 259. The schedule has been set for the final days of the impeachment trial. Correspondent Jerry Bodlander.
Closing arguments in the impeachment trial are set to begin Monday morning and last for 4 hours. A final vote on the two articles of impeachment against the president is set for Wednesday, with acquittal all but ensured. The vote would come a day after the president gives his State of the Union speech.
General Motors bringing back the Hummer.
Imagine a vehicle that can go from 0 to 60 in just 3 seconds, and it's not a Corvette. GM is bringing back the Hummer SUV, but this isn't your father's Hummer. The new Hummer, which will begin production in late 2021, will be an all-electric vehicle with a futuristic design, including a fully lit front grille to a sloping roof. While GMC is not releasing data on the price or how far it can go on a single charge, they have said it will be made in Detroit at a plant that will be dedicated to making electric vehicles. I'm Jeff McKay.
The Trump administration is curbing immigration for 6 countries as a part of an election year push. But the move isn't a full travel ban like the president's initial order in 2017. The Department of Homeland Security says the 6 countries don't meet security screening requirements. I'm Barton Eckert.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call TermBusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
The Super Bowl usually lasts about 4 hours, but the Department of Agriculture says your game day snack shouldn't be left out that long. More from TJ Coutini.
The Department of Agriculture has a 2-hour rule when it comes to leaving food out at a Super Bowl party. The USDA suggests keeping foods warm with a slow cooker or warming trays and keeping cold foods on ice, salsa and guacamole included. The key, they say, is to avoid room temperature. The USDA warns that foodborne illness bacteria can grow faster than you may think under those conditions, and there's a big risk of heat-resistant toxins being produced that cannot be killed through reheating the food. I'm TJ Coutini.
With legal sports betting spreading throughout the country, this year's Super Bowl could be among the most bet-on championship games ever. While many fans are old hats at betting on the football, Sunday's game will be only the second since a Supreme Court ruling that opened the door for all 50 states to offer legal sports betting. I'm Barton Eckert.
Thinking about life insurance? Did you know in just a few minutes you can find the best price from up to 10 price competitive companies for free? You can with SelectQuote. For example, George is 39. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-890-6688. That's 800-890-6688. 800-890-6688. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. Looks like there may be some accident activity on a DC 295 southbound approaching Pennsylvania Avenue. Watch for delays there. Keep in mind that in the district, a portion of Cedar Street is closed in Northwest between Carroll Street and Eastern Avenue due to water main repairs. And in Silver Spring, watch out for construction work eastbound on University Boulevard between Piney Branch Road and Carroll Avenue. Looks like they're doing some work in the median, so use extra caution.
It's now a distinct honor and privilege to welcome to the Larry O'Connor Show President Donald Trump. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Larry, and I greatly appreciate the nice things you've said.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Newt Gingrich, morning, Mr. Speaker.
Well, it's always great to be with you guys. It's just fun.
Thank you so much. WMAL.
Mike Lee, Senator of Utah. Thank you for joining us, Senator Lee.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
105.9 FM.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to join you.
Washington's Mall. WMAL.
Smart investing is more than buying or selling at the right time. To be a truly wise investor, you have to consider the bigger picture, including how your investment choices impact both your taxes and larger goals. Hi, this is Chase Hinderstein with the Wise Investor Group and co-host of the Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning at 9 here on WMAL.
Chase Hinderstein and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated. To reach Chase, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
At the Big Screen Store, big game savings start now. Get two Samsung 4K TVs, a huge 82-inch and a 58-inch, just $19.99. Buy today for guaranteed delivery before game time. Only at the Big Screen Store. At the Big Screen Store, our prices beat Best Buy and online guaranteed. Plus, we double the Samsung warranty, and you get delivery and installation installed by pros on your schedule. Not even Amazon can do that. The Big Screen Store. The Big Screen Store is your motion furniture headquarters with innovative furniture featuring power headrests, full power recline, USB ports, lighting and accessories, power lumbar support, plus an incredible selection. The Big Screen Store. At the Big Screen Store, big game savings start now. Get two Samsung 4K TVs, a huge 82-inch and a 58-inch, just $19.99. Buy today for guaranteed delivery before game time. Only at the Big Screen Store.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that advanced your career skills and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? Find out more. Text TEST to 79645. Start on the path to earning your MBA or Business Analytics Master's degree online from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the graduate programs from the top-ranked W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University offered 100% online. Text TEST to 79645. That's T-E-S-T to 79645.
Thinking about life insurance? Did you know in just a few minutes you can find the best price from up to 10 price competitive companies for free? You can with SelectQuote. For example, George is 39. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-890-6688. That's 800-890-6688. 800-890-6688. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. It's good to have you with us. So where are we in the impeachment process? Who cares about the Super Bowl, right? I mean, it's just the 49ers and the Chiefs. You got any skin in that game? I don't have any skin in that game. None whatsoever. Anyway, now let's talk about the impeachment process, because it's been a very busy week, a lot of developments, and kind of what's next. Where are we? And these are some of the questions we're going to be answering this morning with our experts. We'll be talking with Jim Trusty. You've seen him a lot on Fox, attorney with IFRA Law. He'll join us in this hour. Also, John Gizzi's in Iowa already. He's out for the Iowa caucuses. They take place Monday night, but this is the weekend where they scramble in Iowa. Jennifer Harper will join us in a little bit, and she's got some interesting information on impeachment and Iowa as well. So we'll be talking with Jennifer. Cheryl Atkinson comes up in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get her read on the impeachment so far. She had a very interesting piece in The Hill, came out earlier in the week. Wake Me When It's Over was the headline on Cheryl's piece. We're going to talk to her about that. John Gizzi, as I mentioned, is in Iowa. We've got K.T. McFarland to join us later on, and we will be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. What about that 18th witness that we haven't seen any of the testimony from? The 18th witness, an inspector general who was interviewed in the House process, and the Democrats have been sitting on that interview. A lot of people want to know what was said, and is there a possibility that Adam Schiff is covering up something that may have been in that testimony? So we're going to have to figure that one out. But for the moment, let us continue. Quite dicey yesterday, Capitol Hill. Late afternoon, a 49-51 vote on witnesses. So the Democrats lost the vote. And if we go to one of our cuts here, Jeff, we have got vote one, cut D. And this is the one, got a couple of vote cuts here. This is the one, this is what it sounded like when Lisa Murkowski's name came up, because this was the one everybody was wondering about.
Ms. Murkowski. No. Mr. Murphy. Aye.
That's what it sounded like. Long pause there when they called on Ms. Murkowski. But that was one of the pivotal votes. That's how it sounded yesterday afternoon. But It was a dicey day. We're going to get to, you're going to have to brace for this. We've got Chuck Schumer, a couple of Chuck Schumer cuts this morning. I know I hate to do that to you, but we're going to do it anyway. But to give you a quick kind of rundown of where we are. So they have the vote in the afternoon, late afternoon. Right after that vote, within an hour, hour and a half of the vote, Chuck Schumer, it comes up, and he has yet another one. And this is Chuck Schumer. This is after the witness vote. This is what he proposes.
Now, Mr. Chief Justice, I send an amendment to the desk to subpoena Mulvaney, Bolton, Duffy, Blair, and the White House, OMB, DOD, and State Department documents, and I ask that it be read.
The clerk will report.
Chuck, it's over, okay? It's over, but he won't give up. So how did Mitch McConnell react to Chuck Schumer's proposed amendment?
The majority leader is recognized.
I move to table the amendment and ask for the yeas and nays.
Table the amendment, ask for the yeas and nays, and of course the Republican nays outweighed the Democratic yeas. So that one's out the window. Now, what's next? Well, some had hoped that the Senate would be in session today, have a vote to acquit the president. The Democrats and Republicans couldn't come to terms on that. Why was that important? Well, the State of the Union address takes place Tuesday night, and many in the administration and on the Republican side had hoped to have the president acquitted in time for the State of the Union address. Clearly, the Democrats continuing to want to dirty up the president as much as they can from this. They got bickering, and they couldn't come to terms to agree on a vote today. The vote now is scheduled after 4 o'clock on Wednesday, which is after the State of the Union address, unless somebody at the White House decides to postpone the State of the Union address, which likely won't happen, but you never know. There's been some talk of that. There's a lot of talk around Washington these days. So anyway, political theater continues, and we've got some more sound coming up. That a lot of Schumer here. Why do I have so much Schumer here? Anyway, it's on the way. It's 6:15. It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Overall traffic moving well this morning on the Capitol Beltway, and so far not seeing any delays. Traveling in Virginia on 95 from Dumfries into Springfield on 395 from Etzel Road to the 14th Street Bridge. Earlier incident on DC 295 southbound approaching Pennsylvania Avenue cleared away. Keep in mind the intercounty connector eastbound is closed this weekend between Lay Hill Road and New Hampshire Avenue with weekend construction. Detours are in place. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We're looking for afternoon showers today, a high of 44, partly cloudy Sunday, high of 50. For Monday, wow, 63 for the high, partly cloudy skies. Showers on Tuesday with a high of 60. Wednesday, rain, high 53. But it is a crisp 28. There's frost out there this morning, so give yourself a couple of extra minutes because you will find the windshields frosted over. And the left driver door window won't go down. So, that's where we are at 6:16 on this Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
We continue, and we're giving you some of the highlights or lowlights of the action on Capitol Hill yesterday. This was an interesting little back and forth. First off, Chuck Schumer was quite upset around 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
We have stood for one thing. We do not want this rushed through. We do not want it in the dark of night. Members have an obligation to tell the American people and to tell the people of their states why they are voting. So we are not, we are going to use whatever power we have to present it, prevent it from being rushed through. But right now there is no agreement. I'm not going to take any questions.
Whoa, he was upset. When Chuck Schumer walks away from a microphone, he's upset. When he walks away from a television camera, there's something going on. Don't stand between Chuck Schumer and a television camera. So anyway, there's Chuck saying, let's not rush this, let's not rush this, let's not rush this. Aren't we in this pickle because the House of Representatives rushed this and didn't wait to go to court to subpoena some of the witnesses that they were so eager to talk to? So now they don't want to rush. However, the House, in many people's opinions, rushed. Sue, you heard Chuck. How's Lindsey Graham feel about that?
If my Republican colleagues refuse to even consider witnesses and documents in this trial, this country is headed towards the greatest cover-up since Watergate.
So here's Chuck, and that leads in to Lindsey Graham. And how does he feel about it?
Well, I think I can live with this criticism. It wasn't a fair process. First time in history we've impeached a president solely on partisan lines in the House. Actually, a bipartisan rejection of impeachment. If Senator Schumer's okay with this, be careful what you wish for.
Be careful what you wish for, from Lindsey Graham. So that's just a little bit of what's going on. We're going to get into some of the shenanigans in the Democratic Party. We'll get into that next. And when I say shenanigans, just some of the stuff going on. Rashida Tlaib had some comments about the Clintons, which is raising eyebrows. We'll get into that. Also, the Democratic debate rules have changed, and that's causing a lot of consternation among Democratic candidates. We'll tell you what that's all about. Plenty to cover coming up here on the Saturday Morning Update. It's 6:19.
Pop quiz. If you sell a home for $500,000, how much would a traditional real estate agent charge in commission? If you guessed $25,000 to $30,000, you're right. But if you think that's the only way, you're wrong. This is why thousands of homeowners are making the switch to Rex. With Rex, you get a dedicated agent and a full-service experience at a fraction of the cost. Rex uses game-changing technology to cut out the middleman and save homeowners tens of thousands of dollars in fees. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME.
Remember, this is your home. Why give an insane amount of equity away to an agent? Rex offers the lowest fee in the industry without skimping on service. You'll work with an experienced real estate team with you every step of the way. Get the most out of your home. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. 833-REX-HOME.
REO 2002-00541.
Minimum fee may apply. Not licensed in all 50 states. Visit rexhomes.com to see if Rex is available in your area. Rex fully supports the principles of the Fair Housing Act and Equal Opportunity Act.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Hello, Mr. Vice President. Mike Pence is here. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
And listen.
I listen every morning as I drive to the office.
WMAL.
Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and a good friend of the program, Dr. Ben Carson.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Senator Tom Cotton.
Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Kellyanne Conway.
It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you for being here.
On 105.9 FM.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to join you.
Washington's Mall. WMAL.
It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL, and this is what the Democrats are talking about these days. The DNC, Democratic National Committee, on Friday, said it would drop the donor threshold for the next primary debates coming up February 19th in Nevada. So what does that mean, dropping the donor threshold? Well, as you know, Mike Bloomberg has been self-funding. He is the billionaire that's put in a couple of hundred million so far into his campaign. He's refusing donations for his White House bid. Well, since they've dropped the donor threshold, now Mike Bloomberg can participate in the debate. Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign ripped the Democratic National Committee over the new debate qualifications, saying it is supporting a rigged system. Does that sound familiar? Sanders claiming the system's rigged? Remember 2016? Hillary Clinton superdelegates? Wow. Jeff Weaver is a senior advisor to the Sanders campaign. Here's the statement he released. To now change the rules in the middle of the game to accommodate Mike Bloomberg, who is trying to buy his way into the Democratic nomination, is wrong. That's the definition of a rigged system. Now, under the new criteria, candidates must reach 10% support in at least four national polls or 12% support in two sanctioned early state surveys from Nevada and South Carolina. Do you hear that? Support in two sanctioned early state surveys from Nevada and South Carolina. Candidates could also qualify by winning at least one pledged delegate at the Iowa caucuses or the New Hampshire primary. Lowering the bar. The debates held over the past several months have all included a mandatory donor threshold, as you know, a criteria that prevented Bloomberg from winning a spot on stage. And it's also kept other people off stage, Tulsi Gabbard. This will be very interesting to see how this plays out because if Bernie Sanders supporters feel that this is another rigged campaign, could really affect their turnout at the polls if someone like Joe Biden or Amy Klobuchar ends up as the candidate. So it will be very, very interesting to see how this one plays out, but upsetting quite a few Democrats. Creating a stir among Democrats this morning, Michigan Representative Rashida Tlaib booed former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton during a live campaign event for presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders in Iowa on Friday. Happened at the end of a panel discussion. She and Ilhan Omar were at the first caucus concert, featured a performance by Bon Iver. It was in Clive, Iowa. Bernie wasn't there. He was here. He couldn't get there. The lawmakers have endorsed Sanders in the 2020 Democratic presidential primary. They've spent time campaigning for Bernie Sanders. Now, during the event last night, the lawmakers spent time on stage discussing a number of progressive issues, including climate change. At the end of the discussion, an activist who was serving as a moderator mentioned Clinton recently saying nobody likes Sanders, which elicited boos from the audience. Well, she sought to quell the booing, saying, "We're not going to boo. We're going to be classy here. We're not going to boo." That's when Tlaib jumped in, laughingly saying, "I'll boo. Boo." Well, that could have been a boo-boo for the progressives, because more division potentially from that in the campaign. So we'll see how that's going to play out. It's interesting when there is so much turmoil in the Democratic Party internally, as well as the turmoil between the Republicans and the Democrats with the impeachment process. It's 6:27 on the Saturday Morning Update.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who owes back taxes, if you get nervous when the mail comes because you might get a letter from the IRS, then you've heard. Their enforcement agents are cracking down this year and can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts. Even your home or business could be at risk over unpaid taxes. It's all true, but it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. The award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief will fight to get you the best deal possible, protecting your paycheck and your assets from IRS collections. But don't delay, because the IRS is tacking on interest and hefty penalties every single day. So don't wait until it's too late. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Saturday Morning Update, WMAL 629. An interesting note, with all of the attention on impeachment and Super Bowl, haven't heard much about what the president's been up to. Well, he's had a pretty busy week, and on Friday, you probably missed this because there's very little coverage of it, the president signed an executive order to help combat human trafficking. He's dedicated a new White House position to the issue. Now, he was surrounded by survivors of human trafficking at the White House and also administration officials, members of Congress there. Trump signing an executive order to create the position at the conclusion of a White House summit on human trafficking. He declared the administration 100% committed to eradicating human trafficking from the earth, called the practice a form of modern-day slavery. A candidate has yet to be identified for the new post. It would be an addition to the Domestic Policy Council. Trump has sought to elevate human trafficking since taking office by speaking publicly about the issue and inviting reporters into White House meetings with victims and anti-trafficking advocates. On Friday, the president told his audience about the multiple pieces of legislation he signed into law and a task force he created to address the issue. Funny that you don't hear much about that on the cable channels. Except for one. We're coming up on 6:30. Quick break, and then we'll take a look at the news going on around the world this morning.
Looking around your business, I see tablets, laptops, the printer, smartphones. They're all connected to the internet?
They're all connected. We're very digital friendly.
Can your network handle all those devices?
Sometimes.
Comcast Business runs on the nation's largest gig speed network, so you can get the bandwidth you need to power all your connected devices at the same time.
That would be so productive.
It's time to take your business beyond with super fast internet at an amazing price. Get started with 200 megabit internet and voice for $99.99 per month for 2 years. And for a limited time, we'll upgrade your speed to 300 megabit internet for a year at no additional cost. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
Offer ends 3-1-20. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. New business customers only. Limited to Comcast Business Internet. 200 megabits per second and one mobility voice line. Internet speed increases to 300 megabits per second after first 12 months. 2-year term agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change.
And taking a look at the world at 6:30, the rapid spread of the coronavirus from China that has sickened thousands and killed hundreds has rattled Chinese-American communities across the U.S. As the virus has spread overseas, many residents of majority Asian cities just east of Los Angeles say they're staying inside as much as they can, wearing surgical masks when they go out. Organizers of some Lunar New Year celebrations are going a step further by canceling events in places like New York City, Maryland, Arizona, and California. There have been reports in some places of stores running out of medical masks. Maryland's corrections chief says addressing concerns about low staffing at state prisons has been his top priority. Robert Green outlined efforts to hire correctional officers during a hearing on Friday before lawmakers on the House Appropriations Committee. Lawmakers have expressed concerns about safety conditions due to low staffing, as well as $129 million in overtime costs. Those were last year. Another story in Maryland, the University of Maryland Medical System says it is seeking to recover a remaining $400,000 that it paid to the former Baltimore mayor who pleaded guilty to federal charges in a case involving sales of her self-published children's books. The new chairman of the University of Maryland Medical System's board told the House of Delegates on Thursday the system has recovered about $100,000 of the $500,000 it paid to Catherine Pugh. The system is working with federal prosecutors to recoup the rest of it. Pugh sold Healthy Holly books to nonprofits and foundations to promote her political career and to fund her run for mayor. Joe Biden's campaign manager is downplaying the significance of Iowa and New Hampshire and prepping supporters for an extended presidential primary season. That's 3 days before the Iowa caucuses begin the 2020 nominating process. That happens on Monday night. Greg Schultz wrote in a Friday memo to supporters that was obtained by the Associated Press that Biden will be competitive in Iowa, but he said the nominating contest could last into the summer. It's a markedly different approach than if Bernie Sanders, one of Biden's top rivals, he's boasted that he can sweep the first three statewide nominating contests in February, which would also include New Hampshire. In the UK, Brexit has happened. 1,316 days of political turmoil. Now the United Kingdom stands alone as the first nation to have ever left the European Union. It has ended the careers of two prime ministers, left the very future of the United Kingdom in question. Scotland's case for independence is becoming harder to ignore, while Britain's perceived selling out of Northern Ireland has played into the hands of those wishing to see Irish unification. And that's just the politics of Brexit. It's 6:34, time for check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, quiet ride this morning on the major interstate. 66 looks good from Centerville to the Beltway and heading in towards Falls Church. No issues to report on 95 from Woodbridge into Springfield, or 395 heading from Etz Road to the 14th Street Bridge. Do keep in mind in the district that Cedar Street is closed in both directions between Carroll Avenue and Northwest and Eastern Avenue, and that due to water main repairs. And also keep in mind that there is some road work taking place in Silver Spring on University Boulevard eastbound between Piney Branch Road and Carroll Avenue. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, it's a rather mild forecast for the next few days. It's chilly this morning, but we'll be up to 44 this afternoon. We've got afternoon showers, then 50 degrees for the high tomorrow with partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy Monday, high 63. Tuesday morning showers, high 60. And rain on Wednesday with a high of 53. Currently in Washington, we're 29 degrees, and we're headed to 44 this afternoon. 6:36, Saturday morning update.
Transparency and trust. Clarity and value. Understanding risk. Are you getting these things from your financial advisor? Hi, this is Greg Smith, co-host of the Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WMAL. Having a financial partner who understands what's important to you can make a big difference. Learn more by logging on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com.
Call 866-758-9473 and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
Super Bowl weekend here on the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. It's been Super Bowl week on Capitol Hill, actually a couple of weeks, and we're joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. That's a great idea. Super Bowl week at the Capitol.
But the ratings have not been particularly super for the impeachment proceedings, have they?
No, not really. In fact, according to quite a few studies, several of them that were out this week talking about whether or not Americans were actually paying attention to all the hoopy-doo, the impeachment trial and so forth and so on. And the answer is no, not particularly, because the ratings, according to Nielsen Media Research, all the numbers were going down day by day, essentially by about 20% every 24 hours. One number on that. There was a Reuters study which found that the total number of viewers who tuned into not only our cable news channels but also the big three, CBS, NBC, ABC, they dropped by 19% in the first 24 hours. They fell from 11 million people who were watching to about 9 million. And it's also interesting, our friends over at the Media Research Center did their own study to discover that they said that 4 million tuned in on the big three networks, CBS, ABC, and NBC, and they thought, well, let's compare those to how many people watch the soap operas on those three networks during the day, because the networks did interrupt their daytime programming, and they found out that typically 11 million people watch the networks. So the networks lost a lot of viewers as well. So it was one of those cultural moments that we all had to pay attention to. And, you know, while we're talking about the trial, I think Jared Kushner, he made a really just a pivotal remark during an interview with Fox News this week. And this is what he had to say about his father-in-law, President Trump. He said, every day President Trump is making this country better. He's brought a businessman's approach to Washington. He's a pragmatist. He's getting things done. The people in Washington may not like it that he's making them do work. He's making things happen that people have spoken about for many years but did not deliver on. Again, this is Jared Kushner talking to Fox News. He says the whole impeachment charade that's been going on for a couple of months is just a big distraction. The country's doing great. We're focused on doing the work for the American people. I find that everybody who leaves, they write books about what a hero they were, how they knew better. But the reality is that the president is the one who's running the White House, running this government and getting things done. And all the people who are doing the real work, they're not writing books because they're too busy working. Again, that comes from Jared Kushner. Thought it was a very snappy remark.
So the Super Bowl is tomorrow, but even though it's sports and football, we still won't be getting away from politics even during the game?
Well, in a roundabout way, you're absolutely right there, Rick, because probably unbeknownst to a lot of people, President Trump himself has bought two commercial spots during the Super Bowl, and we have to put in that each one of these 30-second spots that you see at the Super Bowl on Sunday, they cost $5.6 million each, okay? But he's not alone because our friend, Democratic presidential hopeful Michael Bloomberg has also bought some time on the Super Bowl. So we've kind of got a little Super Bowl of ads between the billionaires here. And he's going to give Mr. Trump some competition here with his own ad. I mean, certainly I saw a clip of the Trump the Trump spot that's going to run on Sunday. It's very patriotic, very uplifting, very well done, too. And Mr. Bloomberg's ad is a very he's talking about his anti-gun policies and gun safety and so forth. So it's not particularly a personal ad, but they're both campaign ads. And, you know, while we're talking about it, according to Kantar CMAG, this is a leading industry source for advertising, Mr. Bloomberg has already spent $287 million for his broadcast ads. The Trump campaign has shelled out about $53 million. This is according to Kantar CMAG. This is a industry source. And, you know, I had to do a little research here, too, to find out in the big billionaires derby where those two stood in terms of money, and Forbes is the news organization that tracks all of that, and they advise us right now that the world currently has 2,153 billionaires, and 607 of them currently reside in the United States. And just as an aside, Mr. Bloomberg has $55.5 billion, and Mr. Trump, according to Forbes, has $3.2 billion. And Mr. Bloomberg has vowed he would spend $500 million to defeat Donald Trump in 2020. So that's all you need to know about Super Bowl and the president and a presidential hopeful this morning.
So he pledged to spend $500 million. He's spent $287 million so far, and not dramatically moving the needle. He's going to have to go over a half a billion dollars if he really wants to get anywhere.
That's exactly right. He's down at the bottom, about 1%. Favorability among Democratic voters.
Well, let's get back to the Super Bowl, because they're always staggering numbers and statistics when it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, absolutely. And the best round that came out this week came from WalletHub.com. They did a very in-depth analysis of the Super Bowl, and they relied on all sorts of sources for that, including ESPN and Fox Sports, the National Retail Federation, et cetera, et cetera. Here's just a couple of numbers you can think about tomorrow. They say that 5,800 journalists are expected to cover the Super Bowl on Sunday. Think about that. 5,800 journalists. Well, they're all writing about the same thing. Can't wait to see what they say. And let's look at some other cultural curiosities from the big game, Rick. Close to 23 million people are expected to bet on the Super Bowl, and they are expected to legally wager $325 million. Anyway, they're expecting an audience of 98 million to 144 million people to tune in on Fox. That's like last year was the lowest rated. 98 million people looked at the Super Bowl, and the biggest record-setting audience was 144 million. So it's somewhere in between there. And if you're wondering, Anheuser-Busch has spent $441.3 million on Super Bowl ads over their course of action since 2006. And they do this even though 80% of the American people say that all these fancy commercials fail to change consumer opinions about the brands. And last but not least, Americans are going to buy 51.7 million cases of beer to last them through the Sunday afternoon and into the night. The top Super Bowl eats are wings, pizza, nachos, dip, chili, and barbecue in that order. And they expect that every person is going to scarf down about 6,000 calories during their big football feast. And certainly last but not least, 52.4% of Americans now believe that Super Bowl Monday should be a national holiday.
A new documentary out on Clarence Thomas. Sometimes documentaries are favorable to the subject, sometimes they're not. How about this one?
This one is really very, very well done, and it is debuting this weekend. It's actually in a couple of Washington theaters. It is called Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words. And this is a really significant and a very finely tuned documentary. It was very well done. And it's kind of accomplished what a lot of people set out to do and don't particularly accomplish, because the independent film and TV producer behind this project, his name is Michael Peck, he did a very wise, very compelling thing. He and his crew stepped back, and they allowed Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to have a say about his life and the life and times we live in. And he does it very clearly, very beautifully, and some of the early reviews on this are pretty incredible. It was called A Marvel of Filmmaking by the Washington Post. It offers rare insight according to time. A lot of people said that a lot of the audiences had tears in their eyes when they were witnessing Justice Thomas talk about his life and our lives and all sorts of things. But anyway, the film did debut nationwide yesterday, and it's in major cities, including D.C., but also Los Angeles, New York, Chicago. And if you're curious about this, you can go to JusticeThomasTheMovie.com. And as for Justice Thomas, he's down in Florida with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis this weekend, and they are appearing at a big event hosted by the Federalist Society down there. And if you don't know about the Federalist Society, well, it's an organization of 60,000 lawyers, law students, scholars, and individuals who believe and trust that individual citizens can make the best choices for themselves in society. Again, the movie is called Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words by Michael Peck and Company. Very good film, got great reviews, so might want to check that out.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Thank you as always, and enjoy the big game tomorrow.
I will indeed. Everybody have a good time tomorrow.
All righty. 6:47, it's a Saturday morning update on WMAL. We're going to check out the traffic and weather. Then we will continue with Jim Trusty. He's with us from IFRA Law this morning. You've seen him a lot on Fox this week. And we'll get his legal perspectives on the very latest in the impeachment process. That's next. But first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Overall, a light volume of traffic on the major interstates this morning. Beltway still running at a good pace throughout Maryland and Virginia. Route 50, no delays from the Beltway out towards Bowie and the Bay Bridge, but do keep in mind fog warnings are in effect at the Bay Bridge, so just use some extra caution. Elsewhere, keep in mind that the Intercounty Connector is closed eastbound this weekend between Lay Hill Road and New Hampshire Avenue due to weekend roadwork. Detours are in place. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We've got showers expected this afternoon, a high of 44, partly cloudy tomorrow, high 50. Some clouds on Monday, high 63. Morning showers Tuesday with a high of 60. And rain on Wednesday, a high 53. Kind of sounds like April showers, doesn't it? It's 28 in Northern Virginia. A little warmer in D.C., but there is frost out there this morning. Give yourself a little extra time to clean off the windshield. We're at 6:48, Saturday morning update, WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is Super Bowl weekend. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. It's good to have you with us, and it is great to have Jim Trusty with us. He's gotten a workout on the cable news outlets this week and the last couple of weeks. Jim is with IFRA Law here in D.C., and for a quick background, he was the chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the United States Department of Justice. Jim, good morning. Great to have you back.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks.
Jim, a lot of people didn't have a chance to watch the hours and hours of testimony. What stood out to you in the presentations that people should know?
Well, you're right. The hours and hours probably stands out the most. It was awfully long, and that's not really the most effective way to advocate for something, to use every waking minute of 24 hours, for instance. I thought the White House team was pretty smart to try to be streamlined. I think they're also smart to mix up the personalities as much as they did. You know, that gives you some ability to keep an attention span when they're going to bounce between Sekulow and Philbin and Bondi and Dershowitz, et cetera. I do think it was a tactical mistake on some level to have Adam Schiff command so much of the floor time for the Democratic side. And it's not that he's not a good orator. It's just human beings wear out. They get tired of having the same person And it was a very emotional appeal. And so I thought a lot of what you heard from that side of the aisle really transforms from kind of an emotional, indignant, you know, you must do what's right, into browbeating. And it's just a function of doing it for too long with the same tone. So I didn't think it was particularly effective for Adam Schiff to kind of blast the Senate that they're part of a cover-up and that they're not doing their job and that this is, you know, I think he used phrasing about a storm coming. I mean, it was very emotive and kind of nagging type comments to a group of people that aren't even like a regular group of jurors. This isn't just 12 people, you know, trying to decide the facts of the case. This is 100 senators who are pretty used to oral arguments. So I think it was a little bit of an overreach the way he approached it. On the other side, I thought that the case got better in a sense as the defense moved further into their arguments. And I think there were some good moments from all of them in terms of what they had to say. But I actually think Pat Feldman is kind of the unsung hero from the Republican side. I think he had a very good tone. He kind of addressed the Senate in a respectful but very calm and confident way and laid out arguments in a non-academic fashion, but in a powerful way of saying this should not be the new normal. You know, recognize as senators that if you dignify what happened with this House, you are creating a new normal that we're all going to have to live with. So I thought that was probably one of the more powerful moments for him and something that might have appeal to the Senate.
The major development on Friday late afternoon was finally the vote on whether witnesses would be called. It was a 49 in favor, 51 opposed, so there will not be witnesses called in the Senate trial of the president. How persuasive was the Democratic argument for witnesses to you?
Well, I think there's a superficial appeal to it when you say, hey, come on, this is just a trial and we have to have witnesses and exhibits for a trial. So on a very shallow level, it certainly has appeal. But I think that's basically deceptive. At the end of the day, there is a record in this case. There were opportunities to gather witness, and it doesn't translate perfectly into a criminal trial or a civil trial procedurally. It's not like it's grand jury and then trial. It's more like trial and then judicial review of the trial. So it's a little, apples and oranges to kind of pretend that we should have expected dramatic Perry Mason moments of testimony here. And there was a record, including recorded interviews of various people and testimony, usually in groups before the House. So I think what's persuasive from the Republican side of this in voting against having new witnesses is to really talk about the concept of unclean hands, which is a doctrine in law that basically says, you know, if you've been doing something wrong, you can't turn around and ask for other people to make up for that, at least my phrasing of it here. And if you think about the whole process below, and I have to think at least some of the senators spent time thinking about this, and remember, you started off with, we can't wait one day for the call transcript. We've got to impeach now. And you've got a whistleblower who's probably not really a whistleblower. You've got groups of witnesses testifying to hearsay and opinion testimony that would never really come into trial in a typical civil or criminal case. You had games with subpoenas in terms of either not enforcing them because they didn't want to trigger court involvement or not letting the defense issue subpoenas. And you really had no participation by anyone representing the president directly. Certainly no cross-examination of any of these kind of self-important witnesses from either the diplomatic corps or from law schools that came in to opine about his guilt. So there's an awful lot that you can poke at in terms of what happened under Adam Schiff's watch, and that's ignoring his press treatment of the whole process, and just say, look, we can't clean up what the unclean hands created below. And I think that might resonate to the American public on some level, or at least portions of it, when they think about whether this was a fair proceeding.
What I found interesting that the rules of the proceedings were not strictly defined. It was almost like playing a football game, and you didn't really have a full rule book, and you made up some rules as you went along. Compare some of the things that we saw to a courtroom situation and how things may have been different or may have been the same.
Well, I mean, one thing would be the role of the Chief Justice. You know, in a regular trial, the judge is there to be a gatekeeper, to make sure that the finders of fact, usually a jury, are only considering the most reliable types of evidence. So that's why you have rules of evidence and rules of procedure, and you have a judge right there to say, no, you can't put on that hearsay testimony, or you can't use that opinion testimony. So here, you know, Justice Roberts kind of followed, to some degree at least, the Justice Rehnquist model. Justice Rehnquist basically said, you know, I'm here to do nothing, and I've done it well. And so I think that that's kind of where Roberts at least gravitates, although not quite as completely as Justice Rehnquist. And he was not going to volunteer to be at least a consistent gatekeeper on the evidence. So that's a pretty big difference when you're leaving it to Congress itself to figure out the rules of what's permissible. The other thing that I thought was really striking was the inability to cross-examine anybody. The questions game that they played for the last 2 days of sending questions to Justice Roberts to have him ask the questions for them, at least in most circumstances, that's not anything close to cross-examination. You know, in cross-examination, you're going to have the ability to read the witness, to follow up on it immediately, to control the witness if they're trying to make speeches. And that's really where we were left. When you ask a question, whether it's a friendly or a hostile question, depending which side of the aisle you're on, you're lending your time to have speeches. You're basically saying, you know, here's my question. And if it's a friendly, they're happy and they're going to run with it. If it's not a friendly, they can pretty much ignore it and make a speech at your expense, and you've got no recourse. You have no ability to have the judge rein them in and no ability to follow up. So I thought the Q&A part was probably one of the most significant shortcomings of this process. And they agreed to it. The parties agreed to it, but it just struck me as largely wasted time because we'd already had some 30 hours or so of argument from the parties before we went into that little charade.
Even the Chief Justice John Roberts took heat from at least one Democrat during the proceedings. How would you assess him overall?
Yeah, I didn't think the criticism that came from Elizabeth Warren was particularly noteworthy, but I thought what was really interesting is trying to get a sense of how active he was going to be. In a typical trial as a gatekeeper, the judge is very active. They have to make important decisions on what gets considered. Here, the only time we really saw a flash of that early, where he told the parties to be respectful of each other, which was a little bit of intervention, but more importantly, when he declined, I guess, twice to have Senator Paul's question about the whistleblower answered. So that was a moment that I thought could probably cause a little bit of a chill to some of the Republicans to realize that this justice was not a potted plant, that he might actually intervene on whether certain witnesses could be called or what types of questions they'd be asked. And I have to think that Hunter Biden would be something that would be, and the whistleblower would be, witnesses that if they showed up, where the judge might have taken a pretty active role in shutting things down.
Much has been made of the president's phone call with President Zelensky. What are your thoughts on the president singling out Joe Biden in that call?
I think at the end of the day, it's probably bad form. If he had made a phone call where he said, President Zelensky, please continue to do what you said you're going to do. You know, go after public corruption in Ukraine. I don't care if it touches the shores of the United States. You know, go hard for it. If it ended right there, that is the perfect call. And so mentioning Biden created this firestorm. Big open question to me whether that should ever be considered criminal as opposed to kind of an etiquette violation or just bad form. And I think a lot of people probably view it the same way, at least on obviously the Republican side, but maybe some more neutral folks feel the same way too.
The Democratic talking points for eternity will be that this was a cover-up and this was a sham proceeding in the Senate. From your perspective, do you feel this was a fair proceeding?
Well, look, it's very unlike what we normally see. So it's obviously not the same as a criminal trial or a civil trial, but the reason those comparisons are good to make is because those trials have guarantees for the protection of a defendant on trial. And so we like to use them as kind of a yardstick to measure the impeachment process, which is not a criminal trial, but it's pretty darn important. So, there was an awful lot of distinctions that people have talked about, but I don't think that the process itself was something that was outrageous. And look, the reality is if we had a bunch of witnesses from now till kingdom come, and then there was no removal of the president, I really don't think Adam Schiff would walk up to a microphone and say, you know what, we did everything we could. It was very fair. Let's respect the process. So the screaming about Trump being, enabled by a cover-up was going to come no matter what during this process. There was going to be claims of unfairness no matter what. And I think, again, America, a lot of people are probably ready to move on. A lot of people have their own opinions going into this, but for those that watched it with some objectivity, I think they probably feel like it's not outrageous to treat it like a civil case where the claim doesn't merit further witnesses.
Jim Trusty at IFRA Law here in D.C., again, thank you for your ongoing perspectives on the Senate impeachment trial. Thank you very much, Jim.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Rick.
6:59, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up, we'll talk with John Gizzi. He's on the ground in Iowa this morning. Also, Cheryl Atkinson, some reflections on the impeachment proceedings. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and K.T. McFarland coming up, too. 7 o'clock news is next with Heather Curtis.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. $1,000. Four chances for you each weekday. The $1,000 Fast Money keyword. WMAL, a Cumulus station.